Genesis chapter 3. Lord, bless your word tonight to the hearts of these wonderful people. Bless it to the hearts of teenagers, little boys and girls, elderly people, and all that's here. Lord, make your word a blessing and use it. Use it to convict where conviction is needed, and use it to rebuke where rebuke is needed. And Lord, just accomplish your purpose with the word tonight. Help this preacher to preach. Give me liberty and power and clearness of mind. And give yourself the glory. Oh Lord, thank you for this church once again, the privilege of being here. Bless thy word in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3. Before I do, it goes without saying that Genesis chapter 3 tells us about the creation of man. God created man from the dust of the earth and took from his side and made him a wife. I believe that. I believe man is a direct act of creation of God. You say, I believe in evolution. You've got a problem. You need help. I just believe the Bible. About all creation, I just believe the Bible. He commanded, and it was created. I don't need books. I don't need Darwin. I don't need the origin of the species. He commanded, and they were created. Jesus created all things for His glory. And I believe He created man by direct act of God. He just created him. It didn't come from a monkey. That's too ridiculous to even think about. Amen. And He made Adam and Eve and joined them together. And gave them a beautiful home called the Garden of Eden. There was never a foul odor in it. There was never a faded flower. It was a beautiful place. They never knew to fear an animal, a snake or anything. They never had to fear. They had dominion over them. They had a beautiful home, perfect paradise. And God came and walked with them. They had a perfect communion with God. But there was a tree of which they were not to eat. It was the tree of knowledge. What an apple tree is a tree of knowledge. And if you ate of that tree, something would happen to you. It was knowledge. If you ate of that tree, you would no longer be innocent. You would come to know what ultimate good was, and you'd never be able to attain to it. And you'd come to know what evil was, and you'd never be able to abstain from it. So you don't want that knowledge. But, you know, Satan deceived Eve and she sinned. She ate and Adam came and joined her in the disobedience. And the sentence of God came down upon them. God came in the garden the next morning. They couldn't find Adam. They always took a walk together every morning. But sin had come and Adam wasn't there to walk with him. If sin comes into your life, you won't be there to meet him in the morning either.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He said, Adam, where art thou? He thundered it in the Hebrew. You said, you know Hebrew? No, but somebody told me that's what the Hebrew meant. That he thundered it. Where art thou? And Adam came out from behind the bushes with a cute little suit on made out of leaves. And they were beginning to dry up and fall. And Eve came. What's happened? Well, Adam said, the woman that thou didst make, you. It's the woman's fault and your fault that you ever made her. The woman which thou didst make. She brought, and I I entered into the sin. Yeah, he blamed it on someone else. Man's always blaming somebody else for his sin. Yeah. If you can't find anybody to blame your sin onto, write to Ophrah. She'll tell you to blame it onto your mother, blame it onto your father, blame it onto a dog that barked when you were a baby. Anything. Ophrah's, she's a genius at blaming somebody else for everything. Excuse me, I just had to put that in. And God said, line up, we're going to have Sunday school. I want to tell you what's going to happen. Eve, you're going to bring forth children in pain. Doesn't mean just the pains of birth, but children will bring pain to your heart. And worse than that, you're going to have to obey your husband. That's bad. Adam, the ground's cursed. And you're going to have to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. And you're going to die. You're going to return to dust. And to the serpent, you'll never stand up again like you stood up and tempted Eve. You're going to be on your belly eating dust forever. But he gave a promise in Genesis 3:15. And the Lord said, and I, God, verse 15, Genesis 3, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to Satan, and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed. The seed of a woman. Not a woman and a man, but the seed of a woman. That's a picture of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It shall bruise thy head, but that seed of that woman shall bruise. Thou shalt bruise his heel, but the seed of that woman will bruise thy head. It's going to destroy you, Satan. There's going to be the seed of a woman that's going to destroy you. It's going to crush your head. Now, you may bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. And there's a promise of the Savior. And if the promise was a seed, a seed. At the Garden of Eden, God promised a seed. And our salvation depends on that seed. Our deliverance of never going to hell depends on that seed. And that seed and the promise of it had to travel 4,000 years through history, down through the pages of the Bible, down through the centuries, for 4,000 years until that seed was put up on a cross and there he crushed the head of Satan. But the story of the Bible is how that seed got from the Garden of Eden to the cross of Calvary. Now, if you've got a few minutes tonight, I'd like to take you down that trail and you go with me and we'll end up at the cross of Calvary. Right? Now there's a seed. It's the seed of woman. The promise of salvation and ever being delivered from hell rests upon the seed of a woman. And it's got to go down through the generations, and it went from Adam and Eve to Abel. And the devil said, well, if the seed of woman's going to crush my head, I'll destroy it before it ever gets started. I'll stop this seed right now. And he took Cain, and Cain killed his brother. And the devil said, there, the seed's destroyed. never going to be a seed of woman crush my head. It stopped when Abel was killed. But did you read what God did? It says in Genesis chapter 4, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare him a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, have appointed me another seed. He have appointed me another steed instead of Abel. The devil got Cain to kill Abel, but he didn't stop anything. God just transferred the seed and gave another. And now the seed is in Seth. And that seed starts in the line of Seth, making its way toward Calvary, 4,000 years down the road, where he'll die and crush the head of Satan. But as that seed goes through Seth, Seth's line and the line of Cain, they got mixed up and they got sinful and they got violent and wicked until God said, I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to destroy every last person. I'm going to send them. But Lord, if you destroy everybody, you'll destroy the seed. The seed will never come through. If you destroy, if everybody dies in a flood, the seed will be destroyed. There won't be any seed to crush the head of the devil. And in the midst of that wickedness, when the judgment was brewing on the horizon, Noah found grace. Noah had the seed. Noah had the seed. And God said, you build an ark. And he built an ark. And he built that ark some 140 feet long. And let me get the dimensions here. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall. And he had never seen a boat. He had never seen a boat. He didn't go down to Marina and look at Trump's yacht and say, I'll build one like that. No, he'd never seen a boat. And he built one. Why? Because God was preserving the seed. Yeah, those boys over in Annapolis, Maryland, at the United States Naval Academy took the dimensions of the ark that Noah built without any blueprint, without any instructions, and they studied it, and they said that the dimensions of that makes it seaworthy. Yeah, and Noah knew all of that and had never gone to the Naval Academy. Yeah. He built that. Now, the water came down. God punctured the canopy above the earth. And the water convulsed up out of the earth. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the water came up and every last person except Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives drowned in that flood of judgment. And that ark is out there tossed around on that water. Dead bodies of animals and dead bodies of people and trees uprooted, floating around in that ark, bouncing back and forth. If it breaks up and they die, we all go to hell. It's got to preserve whoever's in that ark. Noah's in there, and he's got the seed, and that seed's got to come through that ark and out the other end of that judgment, or we're going to be without a Savior. There's not going to be anybody to crush the head of the devil. And that old ark tossed around, and finally one day it clunked down on Mount Ararat. And then after a year and 17 days, Noah and his family walked off the ark, and he's got the seed. He's got the seed. And in that man is our salvation. In that man's loins is what is needed to keep us out of hell. And God has preserved him. But he got old and he died. And his seed was sent down to his son. Not Ham, not Japheth, but Shem. And Shem had the seed. And down through the seed of Shem came Heber, and down through that came Abraham, until God said in Genesis 12, you got the seed. You got the seed, Abraham. And in you there will be the salvation of thy people. You've got the seed. Whosoever blesses thee shall be blessed. And whoever curses thee will be cursed. Abraham, you've got the seed. And Abraham, there was a famine, and he went down into Egypt to find something to eat. And he got down there, and he had his good-looking wife with him, Sarah. And those Egyptian boys started looking at her. And he said, don't tell her. Don't tell them you're my wife. Tell them you're my sister. And they took her and put her in a harem. And she's got our seed. The seed of our salvation is in her. And she's in an Egyptian harem. And she could be killed there or never get out. And she's got the seed of our salvation. Finally, God disrupted everything and told Abraham to get her and get out of there and go home. And he went out with blessing upon him. And he went back to the land and knelt down at the altar of God. And then on a mountaintop one night, scared to death of the Canaanite kings, God came down and said, Abraham, I am thy shield and your reward. Now take some animals and cut them up. Cut up a goat. Cut up a bullocks. Cut up all these animals and cut up those birds and spread them all out. Abraham spread them all out. And over there was a quarter of beef. And over there is a quarter of a goat. And over there, and there they are. Now, Abraham, walk in between them. What are you doing? Walking in between them. And he got over there. And he stood and he waited. And looked back where he'd walked in through those sacrifices. And he stood and he waited. And then, like a laser furnace, like a burning flame, like a giant end of a torch, it came down and circled through those quarters of beef and through every piece of meat. It went around them and through them and came out. What's that all about? Your people's going to go down into Egypt for 430 years, and they're going to be down there in a land of pharaohs, and they're going to be in a land of idolatry, but I'm going to be with them. I'm going to be in the midst of them. And I'm God Almighty. And I'll bring them out. And after they were down there and they had the seed and it's down in Egypt. Oh my, God's got to get that seed out of Egypt and get it back to the promised land. And there's a man 80 years old up on the backside of the desert, and God speaks to him out of a bush and says, Moses, you're the man. I want to get that seed out of Egypt and get it back into the Holy Land. You go down there and you bring them out. You know, I can't speak. And he made all kinds of excuses. But Moses went down. He stood before Pharaoh, and God confused the Egyptian gods. And then with the blood on the doorpost, he brought them out. And he took them out to the Red Sea. And when they got there, the armies of Pharaoh was coming down on them. And God parted the water. And he let them go through. Because he's getting that seed out of Egypt. He's getting that seed. And now resting upon it is our salvation. And he's bringing it up through there. Then, after he gets them back into the land, we see another miracle, not only of preservation and bringing them out of Egypt, but we see the miracle of election. And through the years, the time has gone by, and God has indicated the seed is in the tribe of Judah. And then it comes down, and God's got a king on the throne. They've got a king on the throne, Saul, and he's disobedient, and Samuel rejects him because God rejected him. And then he elects the seed line. And God said, you go down to Bethlehem. And you go to Jesse's house. Because we got to find somebody who's going to carry this seed. Because we got to get this seed to the cross and crush the head of the devil, or the human race is going to go to hell. Now, Samuel walked into town. He went down to Jesse's house. And he said, "Jesse, God has rejected Saul, and he's told me to come to your house and anoint a new king." Oh, boy, think of that. My son's going to be king. He went in the house. He looked over those big strapping boys, those military boys, big shoulders, good looking Jews, strong fellas. And he looked them over and he sent out what he believed to be the best one. He sent out Eliab. And Eliab went out there and stood before Samuel, big and straight and strong and handsome. And Samuel said, "It looks all right to me." He started to get his bottle of oil out. And he uncorked it, and he's going over there. He's going to pour it on the head of Eliab. And God said, "Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not him. That's not him." Samuel said, "Jesse, you got another boy." "Why?" he said, "I've got another boy. I got Anadab. He went in and got Anadab. He brought him out there, great, big, strong, military boy, big and handsome, stood him up there. Samuel said, "He looks like a good man to me." He gets that oil again. He uncorks it. He's going over there to that boy. He's going to pour the oil on his head. And God said, "That's not him. Don't you pour that oil on his head. That's not him." And then he said, "Jesse, you got any more boys?" I got another boy, Shammai. He brought out Shammai. Oh, another big, handsome, strong-looking fella. And it pleased Samuel. But God said, "Samuel, man looketh on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart." Yeah. But it looked good to Samuel. He got that bottle out and he's uncorking it. He's going to pour oil on Shammai's head. God said, "That's not him." And on to when the boys left. And Samuel said, "Jesse, you got any more boys?" We said, "Almost forgot about him. I got a boy out there watching sheep. But you wouldn't want him. He's just a young little fella. His hair's curly. His face is kind of pink like a little girl's. His voice is treble clef." You say, "What's that?" "I don't know, but it's high." Hey, high. And Samuel said, "Get him." They went out on the hill. And Jesse out there playing his harp, watching the sheep. They said, "You're wanted in Bethlehem." "Well, wonder what I've done now." He starts down the road. He comes to Bethlehem. He looks down there and sees all his brothers out of the house. They're standing out in front of the house. And his dad's out there. And Samuel's there. And he wonders what's going on. He thinks maybe his brothers are finally going to let him play volleyball with them. God said, "Samuel, that's him. That boy, that's him. You pour the oil on him." "You sure?" "That's him." And Samuel took the oil and went over to Jesse. That little boy standing there, rolling his eyes up at Samuel. Oil on his hair and running down over his face. Samuel said, "You're the new king of Israel." "What?" "You're going to be a king. You're going to be a king." And the seed was in David's line. And came down until they said of Jesus, "Thou son of David." Because he was the seed of David. But down through the years, there are other kings arose. And things got wicked. And the country apostatized. And they turned into idol worship and all of that until, under strange events, A woman became the queen and the head of the country. Her name was Athaliah. And if you'll go home and read about Athaliah tonight, it says something very significant. It no sooner introduces her name and it says she killed all the royal seed. Yeah. The devil was using that woman to kill off the seed. And she killed off, the Bible says, the royal seed. Except one. Little boy. And she overlooked him. She overlooked him. And some good men in the court that knew God said, take that boy. And take his nurse. Take that boy. That boy's got the seed of eternal salvation in him. In that boy is the promised seed that someday will bring the Messiah, that little boy.
Yes, sir.
Now, Athaliah, kill him. If she hears about him and comes to know, she'll kill him. Now, you take him and you hide him. They took that little boy and they opened a closet. And they opened a closet door and they said, you get in there. And told his nurse, you get in there with him. And we're going to hide you back there. Now we'll come by with some food for him, but you take care of him in there. That little boy was in that closet 6 years. 6 years he was hid in a closet. You talk about warping the personality of a kid. How'd you like to put one in the closet at home, keep him in there 6 years? They kept him in there 6 years, and then those men in the court set it all up to overthrow that old wicked, devil-inspired Athaliah. And on one occasion, they lined up the troops and got them all lined up. And then they went over and they opened the door and they brought out that boy. He's been in there 6 years. He comes out and they said, there's the king. And they had it so organized and so fortified that Athaliah took off running. And they caught her at the gates and said, she was yelling, treason, treason, treason. But they treasoned her. And the seed was in a little boy. That's all that was left. It was in that little boy. And down through the generations, down through the time of Daniel, down through the captivity, they all went over there to Babylonian captivity. And only, all of them went over. 42,000 is all that ever came home. They got married over there. They married Babylonians. Some of those Jews joined up into Babylonian idolatry and lived there and died there. But 42,000 came back. And hallelujah, when they came back, they brought the seed. It's the miracle of the remnant until Isaiah said, had it not been for the remnant, we should all been as Sodom and Gomorrah. Meaning, we would have all been destroyed if it hadn't been for the remnant. Thank God for that remnant. And boy, things look dark in this country today. But things look really black for the truth and for the preaching of the gospel. But I know this, God's got a remnant. He's got a remnant in Rubyville. He's got a remnant in Marietta. He's got a remnant, and He always will have a remnant. And when Jesus comes, the remnant's going to go up and meet Him. But He had a remnant that came back from the captivity. And then through all of that history of Babylon, Media Persia, Greece under Alexander the Great, and the Romans that came to power and declaring that they were God, one day, a woman and man with a donkey came into Bethlehem and found a barn. And that night, that woman bare a son, and she held in her hand the seed that had come all the way from the Garden of Eden down through those centuries. She held in her hand that seed, and she took him home, and he lived there for 30 years, and he came out and ministered for 3 years, and at the end, they put him up on the cross, and the seed had made its way all the way from the Garden of Eden to the cross of Calvary, and there by his work on the cross, he crushed the head of the devil, gave us salvation. Amen. That seed. Now, why'd you preach such a message? We all know that. You're preaching to the choir. They believe everything you preach. Why did you preach that tonight? This is the reason I preached it. If God Almighty can take a seed and bring it through Zeth, bring it through a flood, bring it through the ark, bring it to a harem in Egypt, bring it up out of Egypt, bring it through the wilderness, and bring water out of a rock and manna on the ground, and bring it up and cross a sea and a river, and bring it through the enemy, and bring it past Saul, down to the wars of the kings, bring it down to the Babylonian ruling of the world, bring it through the history of Media Persia. Bring that seed through the world that was ruled by Alexander the Great. Bring it through the history and bring it to the cross at the right time, at the right place. If a God in heaven can do that, do you think He can't take you where you get saved and bring you to heaven and meet your needs and watch over you? This is a day when everybody's worrying about what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what's going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen to my children. A God that can bring a seed from there to the cross, He can take care of you. He can take care of me. And if we've been worrying, we don't believe in a sovereign, almighty God. We ought to be ashamed if we've been worrying and wondering how we going to make it. God's going to make it for us. And you've been worrying and you don't have confidence in God. You just think that you're going to just starve to death and everything's going to blow up. God, you ought to confess. You haven't been thinking about God right. You haven't been thinking about Him as an almighty, sovereign God that can take care of you. Amen. That's the reason I'm here tonight. A sovereign God took care of me in the Cleveland Clinic and had an Egyptian. That guy that operated on me was an Egyptian. Yeah. Yeah. Did a good job too. Why? God was guiding his hand. Amen. Hey, isn't it great how God takes care of us? And you know, if you've not been trusting God, you ought to get right tonight. You ought to come down and say, "Oh God, I've been worrying. I've been thinking that the end's coming. I've been thinking what terrible things are going to... God, forgive me. You're going to bring me through. You're going to bring us through. You're going to take care of it. Because if you can take care of that seed, for 4,000 years you take care of the seed, He can take care of you in a lifetime." Amen. You ought to come and talk to the Lord. Let's stand.